Okay, well, hopefully everyone had a prosperous lunch, and we'd like to pick right up with moving into session number 3 on communication. So we'll go ahead and invite our Brother Ken forward to lead us in that session on communication. Brother Ken.
Welcome back, everyone. Here is a graph. I know you may think I'm obsessed with marriage. Here is a graph of our marriage. Go into Google and put in, you know, how do I graph my marriage? And it gives you all the factors, and you can load them all in, and, you know, it shows everything. Tongue in cheeks, folks, tongue in cheeks. But I wanted to show that to you because it is intended to portray, you know, all the aspects of marriage, the spiritual component, the emotional component, the physical connection, everything about our marriage. Now, here's a second graph. I'll do it the old-fashioned way. There is a graph of our effective communication over the years of our marriage. Now, do you notice anything unusual about the two graphs? They are one and the same, showing that if you want to have effective communication in your marriage, it will have an impact, the communication and your marriage are going to go hand in hand. It's not possible to be growing your marriage relationship, you know, that godly marriage relationship we all want to be growing, that oneness, it's not possible to be growing that if we don't have effective communication taking place in our life and in our marriage relationship. The good news about communication is you can always, always, always improve it. You can't always improve your financial situation. You can't always improve your health situation. You can't always improve your ecclesial situation. You can always improve the communication that takes place in your marriage. But both people have to be willing and have to be committed. That can change immediately. And you can cause the graph of your communication and of your marriage relationship to immediately begin to go upwards. It can change today. It doesn't need a 3-month or a 3-week period, but it's left up to the couple. Just as we saw with God showing us the principles of marriage, and then he has to step back and wait to see if both couples will embrace them to develop the oneness in the relationship that he's hoping they will develop. It's the same way with communication. Sometimes an apology is needed to improve communication. Sometimes focused attention is needed to improve communication. Sometimes better listening is needed to improve communication, especially if there's been a problem that needs to be resolved. And it needs to take place sooner rather than later, because, you know, if you don't have good communication, it isn't going to improve all by itself. Now take a look on page 24 in your book. Our ability to communicate with each other can be hindered. And on page 24, it shows a series of what they call our filters. And those filters are going to vary from person to person, lack of interest, physical environment, attitudes, memories, etc. So we need to be aware of the factors. It's really that second communication or that second conversation that's going on in your brain. You know how you can talk to your spouse and you can listen to your spouse talk, and that's the first conversation that's taking place in the room. And then there's always also that second conversation that's taking place in your brain as to what you're hearing and also what you're thinking about. And that second conversation can be impacted by the what's called in the book these filters that take place. And depending on the filters that exist, it can actually inhibit the communication that ought to be taking place. The second hindrance is listed on the same page. It's what they call the bad habits. You know, where someone's talking to someone else and then this person listening is reassuring as they go along. Or they may be giving advice as they go along. And instead of listening, they're trying to respond to that and weigh in. They may be intellectualizing or spiritualizing the conversation and trying to analyze what the person's telling them as they're telling them, and then respond by saying, oh, so I think this is really what you mean, and this is, and it ruins the ability for the conversation to reach a worthwhile point, because the one person is talking and the other person is actually responding to what they're hearing before they've heard everything they need to hear. Or they take the conversation off on a tangent that the person who is speaking never intended for the conversation to be taken. Or they just outright interrupt. Dan.
I would have thought that the first one, reassuring, is actually, or could be a positive thing.
It could be. Yeah, I mean, each of these could be positive or negative. I mean, it's. I don't think you can have a one-size-fits-all, but what we're trying to identify in this next exercise is the beauty and the value of just listening. In fact, there's a couple exercises we're going to do now that just underscore the fact that you know, listening is important in communication. And we all remember examples of conversations we're trying to have, especially with a loved one, like our spouse, and, you know, the communication is cut off because they won't even listen long enough for me to explain what I'm trying to explain. And there's, of course, a spiritual reason we want to be good listeners and good communicators. Because, the better we are at listening, the better we can be at communicating with our spouse. And the better we can be at communicating, the stronger connections we can have with our spouse. And the stronger connections we can have with our spouse, the stronger the oneness that we develop with our spouse. And the stronger the oneness we develop with our spouse, the stronger each person in that relationship can help the other person to be a better disciple. So it isn't just an aspect of marriage. Some people have good communication in their marriage and some people don't, and we happen to score low, but we score higher on other areas, so I won't be too concerned about communication. You can draw a straight, direct line between a couple's ability to communicate and their ability to be spiritually helpful to each other. So it makes sense, if we're going to be married to each other, to develop a strong and vibrant ability to communicate. So the first assignment we're going to ask you to do is on page 24. And it is called Identifying Bad Habits. So take a look at those five bad habits. You can define number one as the two of you decide. But go through and identify your particular bad habit and then discuss it with your spouse. So we'll take about 5 minutes to do this one. And it doesn't have to be lengthy. If you can't think of any bad habits, then allow your spouse to offer a suggestion or two. But we are encouraging each person to volunteer that information about themselves. So we do have a humorous video to show. Some of you may have seen it before. I'm on real thin ice on this one because I seldom go down this path when giving a talk, but I showed it to my number one confidant a couple days ago, and she thought it was worth showing, so I won't say who that is, but I'm not going down by myself. It's the beauty of oneness. You go up together and down together. So, men and women are created differently, and you know, to some extent, there's no sense in trying to change your spouse to be like you, because that isn't going to happen. And that's really not what marriage is about. It's about learning to value the difference between the two of you, because God made us different. Society didn't make man different than woman. God made man different than woman. So we have this short video. If anyone's offended, I'll apologize ahead of time. But if you can see the point and see past the part that may trouble you, there is a message here that I think is pertinent to this issue of communication. The point of the exercise, or the point of the video, is just to point out that, you know, men and women have different factors, and it's not that the one was right and the other was wrong. Men are problem solvers. We see a problem, we see an issue, we want to solve the problem. Women are nurturers. They're not always looking for us to solve their problem. But what they're looking for us is to, you know, understand their problem and not try to solve it right away, to have empathy for them. And yet, as the problem solvers, we go right past the empathy, right to solving the problem, and we miss the point of the purpose of the conversation. So a wife is looking for her husband to acknowledge and to validate her feelings, not to try to make her feelings go away by fixing the problem. And what's important to the husband is just as important to the wife, only from the different perspectives. And so to have good communication, we have to appreciate what our spouse's perspective is. So when one person is talking and the other person is not hearing and understanding them correctly, the person doing the speaking feels greatly disrespected. And now you have a different problem, because if Diane is trying to tell me about the nail in her head or any issue going on in her life, and I'm not listening to that, and she knows I'm not listening to that, then the bigger issue becomes she now feels disrespected, and it almost doesn't matter what the initial issue is, because this secondary issue has now become the primary issue. So you won't even listen to me explain my situation. I don't want you to solve it. I just want you to understand it, and I want you to empathize with it. So we need to get this communication piece right. And remember, Peter tells us that we need to dwell with our wife with understanding. And hopefully you can see, too, that both aspects are important. The problem-solving aspect that the men tend to bring to the conversation and the relationship, and the empathy that the wives bring to the relationship. Because think about it. You know, if you could right now know what the trials will be in your marriage over the next 12 months, would you rather have just the skill of problem solving to use to face those trials? Or would you prefer to just have the skill of empathy to face those trials, whatever they're going to be? Or would you rather have both skills available in your relationship to face those trials you're going to face? And therein is one of the aspects of wisdom in how God has put marriage together. Okay, the last exercise we're going to do, the third exercise, is really a highlighting on effective listening. And to introduce it, I would share with you, I don't have a diagram, and I don't have a board I want to draw on it, but I think of the communication spectrum of having a couple of ends and then everything in between. At one end of the spectrum is what I call drivel. Drivel is of no value, really. It's pleasantries and niceties. that two people may exchange in a conversation. How are you? I'm fine. How's the weather? Yeah, the weather's a little rainy. You know, what did you do yesterday? Well, this is what I did. There isn't really any substance to that end of, you know, on the spectrum at that end. You can still be polite, and those things need to be exchanged. You see somebody at the store, or you want to be polite to a stranger, or you see someone, and, you know, that, I don't want to demean that, but in terms of the power to help save people, that's why I call it at the drivel end. At the other end is the dynamic end, where the conversation takes place in terms of subjects and what's discussed and how it's discussed. Now, there's real power down at this end, because at this end, there are conversations that can build a relationship, that can strengthen a relationship, that can build a stronger oneness. And our goal in the conversations that we have, husband to wife, should be to have as many conversations and always be moving the conversation down here to this end called the dynamic end. Now, I didn't wake up this morning to offend anyone, but I'm going to use the example of horsepower. You know, you could have a 30-minute discussion on horsepower and whether or not you want a 350-horsepower engine in your truck or a 250-horsepower engine in your truck. And one person may feel very invigorated by that 30-minute conversation, but the other person wouldn't be too invigorated by that. We're talking husband and wife here. Or use any other aspect that may be very interesting to one spouse, but not necessarily interesting to the other spouse. So I'm not saying you shouldn't talk about horsepower in trucks, because you should. But that shouldn't be the limit of the conversations we have husband to wife. We want to have those kinds of conversations, especially in our, you know, when we spend those 1 or 2 hours together each week in those special conversations. We want to be talking about things at the dynamic end of the spectrum, because that's what rates the highest, that's what can be helpful to us. And recognize when we're up here at the dynamic end of the conversation spectrum, that's also where we are most vulnerable. Because we are we'll talk about issues and problems that can be very sensitive. And so we have to be careful about the conversations we have at that end of the spectrum. We have to be very sensitive to the needs of each person. And we have to listen effectively and make sure we value what they're saying. So for our last assignment for this activity, when we'll take about 20 minutes to do this one, so maybe 15 minutes, depending on how we do. Turn to page 28 in your book. It's called Effective Listening or Reflective Listening. So each of you, and there's a process here we're going to ask you to follow, and we're going to ask you to follow it fairly specifically. Each of you are to pick an issue that is currently upsetting or bothering you that the two of you have not discussed recently. At this point, choose an issue where there has not already been disagreement and conflict. It could be an area of concern related to work, vacations, children, etc. So we're going to start, say, with the husband. He will pick an issue of concern to him. The husband, and that's why we put tea bags on each of your tables, so the husband's going to hold the tea bag so you can remember who's doing the talking. He's going to tell his wife about the issue and how he feels about it. Don't go on for too long. The wife then listens, and you give her the tea bag, and she reflects back only what she heard her husband say. She doesn't value it. She doesn't put her spin on it. She doesn't try to analyze it. She just repeats back what she heard her husband say about the issue of concern that is troubling him. Step number three, the wife then says, in this case, being the listener, what is the most, sorry? Did I say that? I called the wife a teabag. Again? Okay. All right. Well, welcome to her world. That's right. And you'd think I'd learn after a while. Okay. So thanks for that. So she then says, what is the most important aspect of what you are saying? So she's now having her husband focus in on what. So what's the most important aspect? He then responds with it. And she reflects back. She then asks, is there anything you would like or appreciate or appropriate, sorry, like me or like us to do about what you have just said? He speaks, and then she reflects back. And then finally she says, is there anything more that you would like to say? So this is a case of she's doing all the listening, and just repeating back what she hears. I know it may sound elementary, but go through the steps. If you try to short circuit or circumvent them, it doesn't work. And she listens, and she just, you know, reports back, so to speak, on what she hears, and he speaks. So take about 10 minutes and do that, and then switch sides and let the wife talk about an issue that is of concern to her. She speaks, he listens, and reports back. And then asks for clarification, focuses her in, she speaks, and then he responds back. So follow the steps. I think you'll find it helpful. Any questions? Yeah, the person who's speaking.
No, person whose issue is
sorry, the person with the problem holds the tea bag, apparently. So, to begin with, whoever has the problem that you're speaking of, they hold the tea bag. I thought you put it back and forth. Maybe that's why it never works in our house. Okay, sorry for that confusion. Okay, so this is where you're going to have to make sure you manage your frustrations. You probably did not have enough time to talk through either issue. And we just can't build in another half an hour to this to be able to talk the issue through. So don't leave the conversation either way, whether it was the wife explaining the concern she wanted to talk about or the husband explaining the concern he wanted to talk about. Don't leave that at the frustration level. Just make sure that sometime in the very, very, very near future you can return to either issue as you need to finish the conversation. But hopefully you saw the benefit of being able to thoroughly explore an issue, listening to your spouse explain what's of concern to them. So the reason I was passing around the chocolate-covered strawberries was for the husband's benefit. I know we only offered it to the wife, but I didn't want anyone leaving here today and the husband turns to the wife and says, oh, did you get one of those chocolate-covered strawberries? Which 99% of the women in this room took one, by the way. Not everybody, but all but one or two. So they rate very high on that. And I didn't want the wife saying, I didn't see them. Why didn't you get one for me? And then the chocolate-covered strawberry becomes an issue. So we didn't want lovely chocolate-covered strawberries, which are delicious if you like them, to become an issue. So anyways, that's the end of this period. We ran a little bit over. I'll turn it back to Pete. And we will preserve the time that you have together this afternoon. So thanks very much.
Okay, thanks, Brother Ken. Speaking of that time this afternoon, if you did leave off your conversation just now and you have some more things that you need to work out, there's a few hours this afternoon to finish it up. Wouldn't recommend you spend the entire free time this afternoon talking about frustrating things, but you know, if you need to work anything out. So we're just going to get another tray of refreshments out, put them on the table. We have 5 or 10 minutes for a bio break if you need it, or just stretch your legs or whatever. And then we'll just reconvene in, like I said, about 5 or 10 minutes. Thanks.